Do you really know what it means to be human? Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror and I think, goodness me, is that a human? And I realise, yeah, I kind of rub my eyes a bit, actually, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. I am human. And but we're halfway through this little series, and I've said before a few times, it's almost like a preparation series for another one that we're planning in the autumn, where we're going to ask some of the really big questions that we're faced with as the church in our culture and in our society today. Many things around human sexuality, maybe around abortion or assisted suicide, those kind of things that we've really got to get our heads around, mental health and those kind of things. And really we wanted to set the foundation for that series because we realised that we have a story, don't we? As Bible-believing Christian men and women and children and young people, we have a story, and it's a different story to the world's story. It's very different. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up and wrapped up in the world's story and forget the story that we have, the gospel story, the good news story of Jesus Christ. And so this half of the series, we're going to change tack a little bit. We've kind of been talking about our identity. Who are we? As believers, as the church, as followers of Jesus. And now we're going to be talking about our calling. What are we meant to do? Who are we and what are we meant to do? And so the message that I have, we've planned for me this morning, it's called being carriers of hope. Carriers of hope. Next week, Siobhan is speaking, and she's going to be talking about being bearers of light. And then the week after that, it's me again, and it's about being bringers of peace. So carriers of hope, bearers of light, and bringers of peace. Into the world, into this culture and society in which we live, we have a purpose, and God's called us to a purpose. Right, so my prayer for you today, everybody in this room today, is taken from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, one of my favourite of Paul's prayers, and it says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of God. Of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is right at the heart of the Christian message. Christ's sacrificial death and victorious resurrection was all to set you free from the tyranny of hopelessness. If you don't have Christ, you don't have hope. Who would agree with me there? And I don't know what your experience is this morning. You might be sat here with us in this church and you don't yet know Christ as your Lord and Saviour. You might be sat here and you've known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour for donkey's years. There's a difference in our lives. I can say 100% that I've walked with Jesus for, I can't remember how old I am. But I was 7 years old when I gave my life to Jesus and I invited him to come into my heart, take control of my life. I surrendered my life to him. And I was able for the first time to see my life with hope, through the lens of hope. I could see a future that was very different to what I knew. And maybe you're sat here this morning, you're almost struggling because of all the circumstances in and around your life to see the future through the lens of hope. Well, this morning I want to give you some hope. I want to help you see with hope. Perhaps you're just here and you're just struggling with the stuff of life. Jesus Christ is your answer. He is the answer to your hopelessness. You might think that the good news of Jesus is far-fetched. Maybe it sounds irrelevant or even untrue. I want to read something to us all this morning, which has blessed me. It's from the book of Colossians, which is in the New Testament. And it's from, I'm reading it from my tablet because it's from the Message version. And I just want to read this really just to kind of set us up this morning, to stir your hearts, to help you to understand and realize the hope that we have. The Apostle Paul says to the church in Colossae, he says these words, "We look at this Son, Jesus, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son, Jesus, and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, that's you, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he. So roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, this is the best bit, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned on God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in the bond of trust, constantly tuned in to the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets this same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message." The Christian message, the message of Christ, is a message of hope. And for those who believe the message, that's many of us here in this room, like Paul, we become messengers. We are carriers of hope in a world of hopelessness. Last week, if you were here, you would have heard Dave speak so brilliantly about the problem of sin. Wasn't he good? And one of the things that struck me, almost kind of like hit me as he was talking about it, is various different consequences of sin, or as he described it, missing the mark. And one of them really just hit me. And he was talking about distance and how if we distance ourselves from God, it's harder to hit the mark. And he used this cajon, and there's a little hole in the back here of this cajon, if you see it. And he had a few little balls, and I think he got Trevor. Was it you, Trevor? And you tried to throw a little ball into the hole and missed. But the closer you got, you could place the ball into the hole. And the whole point is that if you come draw close to God, it's so much easier to hit the mark. to live up to the standard that God has set for us through his powerful word. See, many Christians, and rightly so, get their knickers in a twist when preachers stand up and preach the gospel and don't talk about sin. We know that sin and the fall, it's all part of the gospel message, the good news story of Christ. And I get that. I understand that. But there's another side to the coin as well, isn't there? That if we extract sin and the fall out of the gospel message, we're in just as much danger, without explaining the rest of the story, we're in just as much danger of diluting and compromising the gospel as anyone who preaches it without sin. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have a responsibility to communicate the full gospel, the full story, from creation through to the fall, through to redemption, right through to restoration, because God's got a great big plan. Pete did such a good job the week before last, didn't he, of helping us to understand that there's a big story that we're all a part of. And so often we settle with the little story, the smaller story of sin and the fall and redemption. We forget about creation and restoration. So we have a responsibility to communicate that full story. This morning we're going to spend a little bit of time in 2 Corinthians. I've kind of set the scene. And in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn to it, starting from the first chapter, and maybe the first four chapters, we're going to spend a bit of time in there, and we're not going to read all four chapters because that would take all of the time that we have up. But I'm going to draw from these chapters a few things that will really help us to understand how we are carriers of hope. Much of 2 Corinthians actually is about exactly that, the fact that we've got this message of this message of hope and a ministry of reconciliation. God puts it on us as the church, and he calls us and he commissions us to go into the world and carry this message of reconciliation, bringing people back to God. But we're going to explore this just for a little while. The first thing that comes out in the first few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read it from verse 3 if you've got your finger on that page. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 5. Paul says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." There's that word again, overflow. If you remember, I read in Romans 15 about how the hope of Christ overflows by the power of the Holy Spirit out of our lives and into the world around us. And if we're going to be carriers of hope, there needs to be that overflow from our lives. There needs to be an overflow. I'm going to try and illustrate this, but I need a volunteer. Anybody willing to, everybody put their heads down right there. Anybody willing to be a bit of a volunteer for me today? Okay, I've got Alan and Josh. Josh is right on the end row, so why don't you come out, Josh, and you can help me this morning. Do you want to be a carrier of hope, Josh? You do. You sure about it? Okay. Now, Josh might not look like it, but Josh has got a lot of problems. We spend a lot of time together, don't we, Josh, talking about all of your problems, yeah. And hours, really, hours, yeah. on end, talking about your problems. There's lots of them, isn't there? Mm. Okay. Do you want to just stand over here a little minute, and we'll talk through your problems, Josh, okay? Right. So, got a lot of problems here. We've got worry. You've got a lot of worry, haven't you? What are you worried about today? Nothing. Good. So, we've got worry there. What else have we got? Abuse. Oh, that's not a very good. We won't talk about that. You've got abuse there. You're carrying all of this stuff, aren't you, mate? And don't worry, it says hot dogs on the top there. It's just so I don't forget what's in there. Hurt. You've got some hurt in your life. Stress. The workplace is a very stressful place to be, isn't it? So you've got that. You're carrying that. Goodness me. Got a lot of stuff going on. Bitterness. Oh, what are you bitter about, Josh? Anything in particular? You've got that there. You see, it took us hours to talk all this through. Doubt. How many people in the room struggle with doubt? Yeah? Most of us at some point in our lives. This is a small can, but nevertheless a big thing in our lives, isn't it? Loss. Sometimes we can carry loss, and it's hard. It's a burden. Oh, we've got some hope. We've got some hope.
That's good.
In the midst of all of this stuff, we've got some hope. I mean, there you go, you can carry it there. And what else? Guilt. Yeah, we've got some guilt. And we've got some fear. Oh, we've got some more hope. Yes, we've got hope. Great. And we've got shame. Oh, and ridicule. One of the things that I really struggled with. Oh, great. So you've got it there. Great. If you just want to have a little wander around there, Josh. And I'm just going to have a drink. Oh, Josh. Hang on. Yeah, don't be careful of these tins. I've got sweet corn. I've got pineapples. That's all of your stuff there, Josh. All of your problems. Yeah, guilt. Okay, you're right. Just have a little wander around. Tell you what. There you go. All right. Most of us, we're just like Josh, aren't we? We've got stuff in our lives. You might not have 15 cans of stuff, but you might have one or two of those things. And the problem is that it's not necessarily how what you're carrying, because we might have some of those things in our own lives. In fact, I know that I do, and I'm working it through. But the issue is not what you're carrying, it's how you're carrying it. How you're carrying it. That's the question that you've got to ask yourself this morning. Just keep walking. I wonder if you could perhaps help somebody, because who else has got one of these issues in their lives? You need a bit of help this morning. Ben, great stuff. Could you just go and help Ben, please? Ben's got an issue. Can you help him? You know, you don't need to help him. Let Josh help you. Let Josh help you this morning. That's a bit awkward. Yeah. What's that? Ridicule. Okay. But you want to give him hope. You've got some hope there, Josh. There you go. Great stuff. You see, in these verses, this is what Paul is talking about here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Yes, he does. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. See, it's not about what you're carrying, but it's about how you're carrying it. Now, I wonder, this might help, Josh. Okay, this is going to be a bit tricky, isn't it? Put your stuff down there, okay? Yeah, doesn't matter how you're going to put it down. It's all from Aldi anyway. Okay, stick this bag on your shoulder. There you go. And I'm going to open the bag. And you've still got worry, haven't you? You'll be all right, mate, in the end. You've got some doubt. You've got all of that. Yeah, you've got some stress. Guilt. See, all of this, if we put it in here, you've still got it, haven't you? But it's not about what you're carrying, it's about how you're carrying it. What have you got there? Ridicule. You see, why don't you just help Ben out now? You've got some hope there that you can quite easily give to Ben. I mean, Josh has still got the stuff, hasn't he? And you see, God comforts him, even with all of that stuff. And there's a big difference between carrying it all in front of him and carrying it all behind him. And that's the journey that we're making as disciples of Jesus. We've got to bring all of our stuff to Jesus. And he comforts us. And he carries the load. It's quite heavy, isn't it, actually? But it's only until we come to Jesus with all of our stuff that we have the ability to carry hope effectively and to pass it on to others. If we don't, we just can't do it. All we're giving others is our troubles and our hurts and our pain and all the stuff that we're carrying, we transfer it onto everybody around us. Great stuff. You can both sit down. Thank you. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. If you let God begin to heal the hurt in your life, he creates a message out of the mess and turns your hurt into hope. We'll come back to that in just a few moments with a third thing that we look at in Corinthians. As we continue to read through Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he carries on unpacking his message by way of illustration, and he uses a picture in chapter 2 of Corinthians. And if you turn to that, chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." This is the verse. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life." We've already talked about an aroma this morning, haven't we? Alison mentioned it when the team go into her school. They carry an aroma. And there's something about us, believers in Christ. We carry the aroma, the fragrance of God wherever we go. But Paul uses this picture, this image of a triumphal procession. And this to the readers would have made sense. And actually, a triumphal procession, if you can say that easily, was a rare occasion. In fact, some commentators who kind of have put their brains onto this suggest that it might have even been a once in a lifetime experience. But what it was about was a victorious general who marched through the streets of Rome into the capital. And if you can imagine this big procession of people, throngs of people walking through the streets of Rome to get to the capital, first came the state officials and the Senate at the front of the procession. Then came the trumpeters, so it would have been loud and noisy, celebratory. Then they carried the spoils of war taken from the conquered land as they come back to Rome. Then came the pictures and the models of the conquered land and citadels and ships. Then followed a white bull for sacrifice that would have been made. And then behind the bull walked the captive princes from the land that was taken, the leaders and the generals, all in chains. Shortly before, no doubt they would have been flung into prison or probably almost immediately executed. And then came the chief magistrates bearing their rods, followed by the musicians with their lyres. Then the priests swinging their censers with the sweet-smelling incense burning in them. And after that came the general himself. Finally came the army wearing all their decorations with victory chants and shouts of celebrations. And it would have been just like the day we are longing for when England win the World Cup. And you can imagine through the streets of London on a big double-decker open-top roof, the England team shouting and crowds shouting and screaming and cheering because England have brought back home the World Cup glory. Maybe. One day. But you've noticed, haven't you, in and amongst that procession, there were the priests swinging the incense, the sweet-smelling incense. And this is the point that Paul wanted to make. He's speaking about the presence of God. And this picture is just before in chapter 3, and he talks about the glory of God. He talks about the presence of God and how it was the ministry of the old covenant and the ministry of the new covenant. And the old covenant came with glory, but the new covenant comes with surpassing glory. And the experience of the prophets of old and the kings who knew and experienced the presence of God in a tangible and manifest way. We too can know and experience the presence of God in our lives. And it's the presence of God. I really believe this. But we know that God is present here with us, don't we? Yeah. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. But there's something about the manifest presence of God, the tangible presence of God, that changes everything. It changes your perspective on the situation that you're faced with. It changes the way that you know and experience the issues and the problems and the hurts that you've walked through, that you carry in your life. The presence of God by the Spirit of God comes in. He changes everything. And at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we read these words: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." If we're going to be effective carriers of hope, we need to learn to carry his presence. How do we do that? How do you do that? But it's actually more simple than what we think. We spend time with him, with God in his presence, in prayer, in his word. And as we do that, he reveals himself. He presences himself with us. As you contemplate, that word there, as you contemplate the Lord's glory, then you are transformed into his image and begin to carry his glory, his presence. The more time you spend with him, the more of his presence you will know, experience, and carry in your life. And the third and final thing that we can draw from these verses is found in chapter 4. And Paul says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." So firstly, it's not about what you're carrying, but how you carry it. Secondly, it's about the presence of God. And thirdly, this is one to get your heads around. It's about being broken. Paul uses this picture, doesn't he? Treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay in the ancient world were used to store treasure. If you had something that was important and of value to you, you'd put it in a jar of clay, in a clay jar. You'd put it in a clay jar, and there it was safe. But the thing is, the only way to get at that treasure was to break the jar. There was no other way. It's like having a little piggy bank with no hole in the bottom. They're quite awkward to get off, aren't they, those little plastic caps? Anyway. The only way to get at the treasure would be to break the jar. Actually, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in jars of clay. And the point Paul is making here is that we are jars of clay. And the message of Jesus is the treasure within. Christ, in you, the hope of glory. Christ, in you, the hope of glory. But the only way to get it out is to break the jar. And if you're going to be a carrier of hope into the world this morning, you've got to be prepared to let God break you. You've got to. If he doesn't break you, he can't use you. And I often think I can do things in my own strength. I'm wrong. If you think this morning that you can do things in your own strength, then you're wrong. The only way that God's going to break you, use you, is if he breaks you. Because in your weakness, his power is made perfect. There's two kinds of brokenness, I think. And we've got to allow God to work in and through them both. But when life breaks you, God wants to bring healing. We've talked about the stuff of life, haven't we, this morning? And it can often break us. There's a saying, isn't it? If it doesn't make you, it'll break you. But when life breaks you, God wants to bring healing. And you've got to let him into the process. But when God breaks you, he wants to make you holy. You've got to allow him into the process. I wonder if you've experienced one, either the breaking of life, and I'm sure there are many things, even now perhaps, that there's things going on in your lives and you think, I can't cope with this anymore. This is life at its worst. And it's painful, it's hard, it's difficult. It could be anything, a relationship. It could be money. It could be illness, sickness. But when God breaks you, it's for a purpose. It's to make you holy. And sometimes we've just got to come before God and we've got to say, God, break me. Break down all of the pride within me. Break down all of the self-sufficiency within me. Break down all of the, I can do this. All of the gifting. All of the expertise, all of the experience, all of the years of following Jesus. Break it all down. Break me and make me holy. See, I think that we can be hurting and being made holy at exactly the same time. But it all depends on how you're carrying it. How are you carrying your hurt this morning?